Before we dive into this podcast, we want to introduce you to our sponsor, TaylorMade. Established in 2008, TaylorMade is a family-owned and run business built on traditional values of trust, honesty, and integrity. When you visit TaylorMade's showroom, you'll experience firsthand their commitment to these values through their honest pricing with no hidden fees and service with a genuine smile. Each tile specialist is knowledgeable in all areas from features and benefits to measuring and layout, ensuring you receive the best advice and service possible. TaylorMade's vision is to become one of the largest and most successful tile manufacturers of high-end quality products, with a stylish and exclusive range of products distributed worldwide to both wholesale and retail markets. Their mission is to manufacture high-quality tiles and surpass expectations by offering competitive prices through an ongoing commitment to customer satisfaction and dedication to continuous improvement. We're proud to have TaylorMade as our sponsor and invite you to visit their showroom in Coorparoo or check out their products online at taylormade.com.au.
Hello and welcome back to the Supercoach Champions podcast. You're here with Catfish. I'm joined by someone who is, in his own words, probably had, an absolute shocker, despite the fact that he was trying his hardest last week. But it is the reigning champion, 2022 overall champion, Matt White. Firstly, how are you?
Mate, I'm okay. It's, the unfortunate fact is I gave it my all last week and I came up with nothing. It just goes to show how much went right last year, right? Like, it's not easy to win. Not much could have gone more wrong last week. I thought I had a good 17 players and had one guy score more than 63 points. It was a challenge, and let's hope that you can give me some team list wisdom today and we can build from here.
Yeah, it's certainly one of those years where I think if you've got the right players for that week, you can go absolutely massive. And the flip side happens as well. And I think that's why so many teams are really close to each other. The scores are so compressed because it's changing from week to week, right? And I think that's why, like, I'm seeing people who scored, 13, 14, 1500 last week, and they're going up thousands and thousands of ranks, even up the top. You can go from the 300-400s to the top 20 just in one big week. So I think there's still a long way to go this season, and it's going to be really interesting to see how it's all going to play out. So yeah, look, let's not talk further about your week. It's just let's just leave it as a shocker. I did a little bit better, 1173, which was okay, but still dropped me 500 spots or not. So I'm in the 3100s, unfortunately, going the wrong direction again. Joe Fitz at 1145, so he dropped a little bit too, still around the 500s, still thereabouts. It's interesting because he is about 350, 400 points ahead of me. So I think that just shows, from 500s to 3000s is only a handful of points, one or two good weeks, and that could change very quickly. But yeah, look, testament to how close the season is. We've got the $500 champs only bonus leader changing again. We've now got Alex, the coach of Blackville Kelpies, and he scored 1383 last week and jumped all the way up to 84th and taking over the lead in our champs group. So yeah, it's really, really tied up the top. There's a handful of, coaches within 10, 20 points of each other buying it out for $500 there. A couple of leagues doing well. Champions 1 all the way up to 13th now. And the Champions 20 head-to-head one league in 17th overall. And last year's top 20 team league, the Podmasters Cup, to 6th overall. So, look, that's enough of that. Let's jump straight into the news for the week because there's plenty to chat about. All right, so just for context, we are recording this a little bit later on Tuesday night. We were hoping to hear the outcome before we recorded, so we can, I guess, offer some takes there. But yeah, it's about 8:30 now, still no outcome, but if it drops live, we will offer our thoughts on that in a bit more detail. So obviously that's going to be a pretty pretty major discussion point, what to do with Reece Walsh. If he is suspended, if he's not suspended, that's pretty massive. So, yeah, without weighing into the, you know, controversy too much, I think there's it's a really difficult situation with the NRL to be in, right? Because I think we can all acknowledge that there were some pretty naughty words said and obviously on mic, and that's part of why there's been a contrary conduct charge leveled at him. So for context, I believe the charge was in relation to him apparently, allegedly abusing the ref. And I guess based off the arguments presented, Walsh is basically claiming that he wasn't abusing the ref. He was directing those words to his teammate, Paddy Carrigan, to be specific. Obviously, Carrigan was giving evidence. Dave Fifita was also called upon to give evidence, and you know, a little bit of a slip up there from Big Dave. But yeah, look, it's an interesting situation. You know, what are your thoughts on the whole bit of a circus, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the worst part about these things is the bad publicity it brings the league, right? And the more of a circus it becomes, the more bad publicity it brings. You don't want to sweep these type of things under the carpet, but I just wish we could find a way to deal with them more swiftly and a little bit cleaner. We just seem to fumble these around. Like, I guess everybody has their right to have their argument, but if you said it to the ref, you're gone, brother. But that kind of language is used, unfortunately, on the field to each other quite often. So if he said it to Paddy, let's move on and lace the boots up next week. I just wish we could get cleaner at the way we deal with these things.
Look, as a Broncos fan, I actually kind of want Walsh to cop a bit of time off. I know it sounds weird, but, you know, he's had such a meteoric rise this season from, look, we could tell he's a talented player, but it's clicking for him this year. And to go from what he did at the Warriors to, you know, putting it kind of together for the Broncos so far this season, and obviously also for the Maroons. And, you know, he's won a lot this year, more than he had previously. And I think it's really gotten to his head. And I kind of think something, you know, needs to click for him so that he kind of gets taken down a peg. I think it's, you know, it's been pointed out that like Billy Slater, Cam Smith, they both actually had words to Walsh, kind of telling him to rein it in, thinking he was a little bit arrogant the way he's carrying himself. Look, he's always been a confident kid, but some of the things he's been doing, you know, not so, you know, it doesn't endear him to the fans, I guess you could say, especially fans from opposition teams. So I actually don't mind if he cops a little bit of time off, even as a Broncos fan, because I think it'll be better for us long term rather than him continuing to, you know, let his ego get bigger and bigger here.
Yeah, heaven forbid, we don't want him to turn into Jerome Luai, do we?
Oh, come on, let's not go there. Because, yeah, it's funny because so many people are making that comparison, right? And I can see it. But, yeah, look, I think there's I think Luai is somewhat misunderstood. And I'll probably leave it at that without, you know, getting into another controversial topic. The other thing that's been kind of going on this week is obviously the Ben Hunt drama, right? The, you know, will he, won't he? Well, right now the Dragons say he won't. He's not going anywhere. The release has been knocked back. But it's funny, the Broncos saw fit to come out and put out a statement saying that, you know, we explored with the Dragons if he was going to be released, whether or not that, you know, we can have conversations. And they actually just said, well, now the Dragons haven't granted the release, then we're not going to go any further with discussions. So I think that's kind of your, you know, cover your own behind type statement there from the Broncos, just to make sure they don't get questioned by the NRL for what's the rule that they're not allowed to talk to a player before, you know, 1 November of the year before their contract ends or something like that. Yeah, whatever that one is. Look, I think we all know, like, this is really an untenable situation for Ben Hunt, right? He doesn't want to be there. Like, I'm hearing plenty of the fans don't want him in there anymore. Like, it just seems like such a weird situation, right?
Yeah, it's weird because I almost feel sorry for Ben Hunt to an extent. And I know someone making $1 million carrying on like this probably shouldn't get felt sorry for. But after the whole drop ball gate for the grand final, he's really sort of turned his career around, especially of late. Like, he's been a Queensland Warrior. I can still picture last year that charge down and run 60 metres to score that try, right? He was gaining a crazy amount of respect in the eyes of not just Queenslanders, probably the whole NRL. And to carry on with something like this, like, I get you don't want to be there, but you're getting paid $1 million, brother. Lace the boots up and make some tackles.
Yeah, it's a tough one, obviously, but I just think the situation, something's going to give, because either Hunt's not going to deliver on the field and the abuse would, you know, reach a whole new level, which is not a good thing at all. Or they let him go and they don't get anything for it. And I think that's probably the issue, right? I know the Dragons are asking for players and stuff like that from the Titans for next year. But yeah, it's an interesting one for the rest of this season anyway. But no doubt, as with everything in rugby league, something will happen sooner rather than later. So yeah, no doubt we'll find out more probably before the next game, I reckon even. But look, let's jump over to the injuries.
What's the matter? Haven't you ever seen a football injury before, you wimps? Let's go.
So look, we've already treated to Tommy Turbo pec tear as being season ending. It's now confirmed he's gone off for surgery. So you know, fingers crossed he has a full recovery sooner rather than later, and we get to see Tommy Turbo running out there. Latrell Mitchell, his minor calf issue, it's now stretched out. It could be, 6 to 8 weeks by the time he gets out there. They're estimating around 21, which is pretty massive. Look, I don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes there, but it's pretty concerning, right? Calf issue lingering this long. And I think for me, this is one of the reasons why I didn't jump on Nico Hines the first game back. And obviously it hurt, and it just shows that sometimes you just get kind of lucky and unlucky depending on how the, like, whether there's been a re-aggravation or the calf's just not responded, or I don't know, whatever it is. But yeah, I'm very nervous about potentially jumping back on Latrell first game back, even with this longer layoff. Do you see yourself wanting to get Latrell into your team as soon as he's available? Or
it's going to be tough. He's going to come back after, say, be it 8 weeks. Fitness isn't going to be there, you wouldn't think. And then he does have that round 26 bye. Yeah, look, trades are going to, well, if I know for me, they're getting slim. And in round 21, I'm probably going to struggle to have the trades to bring in a fullback and then get rid of him for the grand final weekend. So, yeah, unfortunately, Latrell might have to go by the wayside. But for people playing overall, it's nervous, right? You got to be nervous bringing a guy in with a calf niggle after 8 weeks off.
Yeah, I guess if you happen to save plenty of trades, then maybe it's a different situation. But, you just kind of think of, well, how did he go last year towards the end of the season? Like round 21 last year, 152. Round 22, 115. Round 23, 105. And I kind of look at that and go, oh my gosh. It could be a four-week stretch that, round 21 to 25 before he goes on a bite. And he averaged 112 last year over that four-round stretch around that time. So, yeah, it's a tough one, but I'm kind of in the same boat. I feel like it's just too much risk and I don't have enough trades to really consider that one there. More injury issues. Obviously, Jack Bird, not named. He had another knee, just seems to be lingering. So that's really concerning. If you've held, really think he's got to go. Jerry Marshall-King, bit of a dagger to those who had him on their teams last week. He was ruled out and didn't play again. He's been named to return, but it seems like he's still carrying that AC joint injury for the shoulder. His teammate, obviously, is Brenko Lee. They did say Brenko is going to be week to week, but I think at this stage, it might be worth just jumping on Val if you don't have him, if you're still interested in bringing him in, because, he scored again last week, right? Just keeps finding a way to find those attacking stats.
Yeah.
Is he in your team?
He's not in my team. He looks good, though, doesn't he? And I think any other head coach, if it wasn't Wayne, Brenko Lee would be gone, wouldn't he? How is he still surviving?
It's an interesting one for it. But, the fact is, who are we to question the super coach himself, because somehow he's managed to get a very maligned roster in the preseason to get him to be very competitive this year. Although maybe his magic's wearing off because the Dolphins are starting to really struggle and we're seeing kind of what we expected to see start of the season, right?
Yeah, he's run out of rabbits. I think they're all gone.
Well, they get to play the Broncos this week, second time this year, and we'll come to that, no doubt. Reece Robson had a bit of hammy tightness. He's been named, but something to be mindful of. And Josh Papali'i went off with a hamstring strain. They're estimating about 2 weeks out. So good news if you were still hanging on to Pasami Salo, who's getting the starting gig in his absence. Probably good news for Joey Tapps as well, his minutes. And he had a really good game last week, I thought. Really got the arm rolling, so that's good news there. The Roosters are continuing to go through the walls. So Angus Crichton, the latest, with an MCL sprain. Looks like he's going to be going for a number of weeks. Satili Tupanua, gone for the season with a bit of a neck concern. And Egan Butcher, ruled out for this week with a concussion, but expected to be back. His brother, Nat, has a minor ankle sprain. That was why he missed last week. He's been named on the extended bench this week, so bit of an unknown as to whether he's going to come back or not. a tough situation, if especially for those looking at Nafau White as a bit of a downgrade option, but we'll chat about that more in team lists. And lastly, Jake Turpin did have a rib concern. He's been named to play, but ribs are never a good thing, basically. Judiciary-wise, so Murata Niokore suspended yet again, 3 games. I mean, he's been gone for so many weeks this year. Unfortunately, he has a bit of a record now, so anytime he gets charged with anything, he's looking at a number of weeks out. Jake Berhoost missing 2 games due to suspension as well. They've taken early guilty pleas. Obviously, Reece Walsh still, let me check the judiciary. Yep, no outcome yet. And 5 other players free to play after early guilty pleas and fines. So, look, let's jump straight into the teams for this week.
Stephen, I like your hustle. That's why it was so hard to cut you. Congratulations. The rest of you made the team. Except you.
All right, round 18 kicking off at PointsBet Stadium. The Sharks at home against the Dragons on Thursday night. The Sharks basically 1-17 from their last start in round 16 when they flogged the Bulldogs 48-10. Worth noting, Toby Rudolph in the number 20 jersey, and he's still a chance to hopefully make his return. Aside from that, on the Dragons' side, they've got Moses Sully missing because of concussion. Tata Mogu comes in. Bernard Murdoch-Masilla starting as Jack Bird's out. Zane Musgrove also dropped from the team. And they've got Toby Couchman back on the bench as well as Jaden Hunt. So Nico Hines, straight C. Orange Armbad, first game of the round. Don't overthink it.
Yeah, Thursday night. I know people have a tendency to be scared of that. I'm not quite sure why. I think the Dragons are only going to get worse. They had everything to turn up for last week. It was Jack the Balance 200th, and I know they love him. The fans might not, but they love him, and they turned up that rubbish. So against the Sharks on a Thursday night, the Sharks are coming off a break. They're refreshed. Nico's going to go bananas. Look, must-haves a little bit silly, but Britton Nakora and Ronaldo Mortalo, if you haven't got them, I'd do what I could to get them in.
Yep, I think that's a good shout. Like, they're looking like solid options for the rest of the season. You know, I said a couple of weeks back, I thought Nikora is going to be a top three back rower come end of season, for the rest of the season, I mean. And I thought Mulatalo would be somewhere in the top 4 or 5 center wing options, and nothing that I've seen so far since then has really discouraged me from that. Yeah, and look, Nico against the Dragons, round 4, first game off that calf injury, bang, 180. With 7 minutes off, early shower as well. So could be looking at something similar, honestly, this game here. Will Kennedy, bit of a interesting name as a pod. I know Tim Moody took a punt on him over Gutho. I know you're a bit of a Kennedy fan as well. Would he be someone you'd be interested in if, let's say, Reece Walsh is suspended and you need a fullback who plays this week because maybe your other fullback's Clint Gutherson or something like that who's on the bye? Would he be someone you'd take a punt on?
Yeah, look, we're running out of fullbacks. If you throw out Pappenhausen's probably not going to be back. Turbo's gone. Who knows when Trelmitt will be back. Walsh is going to spend however long on the sidelines. There's definitely worse options than Will Kennedy. We've spoke this into the ground now, but they've got a good draw. He does rely on attacking stats. He's got a bit of Scott Drinkwater about him, but he's Drinkwater shown over the last sort of 5-6 weeks. If you can put the attacking stats up, geez, you can go big. And I think Drinkwater's 5-round average, it'd have to be almost 100, if not over. So, yeah, look, I've owned Will Kennedy. He is a good own, but yeah, not a slam dunk pick. But if you're that way inclined, like Tim is a bit of a risk taker, so I'm sure he'd be happy about it.
And last name I'm going to throw out there is Sione Katoa. I know it's been pretty gross. He's got a break even of 100. He's at, you know, just under 455K, but the fact is, right winger against the Dragons last week, that was a certain Dallin Mutini to the Lesniak, who scored 4 tries and scored 178 or whatever it was. So, look, I don't think Katoa's doing the same, but I think he's a chance of at least a double. And, yeah, look, the changes the Dragons made, I don't think are going to solve anything here. So I do believe that Katoa, if you don't mind the risk, I mean, let's face it, he scored 80 in 80 minutes just 2 rounds ago. And only managed 44 with a try against the Bulldogs when the Sharks won 48-10. So the risks are there. And his top score for the season is an 88 against the Seagulls back in round 11. So certainly not saying it's a slam dunk, but if you need to find money somewhere and you want a playable option, yeah, Sione Katoa. I'm just going to throw it out there. You can even look at his Ramian. He's slightly more expensive, I believe. But yeah. All right, let's move on. I mean, let's safe to say there's nothing from the Dragon side that interests you at all.
If you've got Jack DeBallon, definitely don't rush to sell him. he's a workhorse. He's a good to watch as an owner. He makes a million tackles, but yeah, I wouldn't be going out of my way to buy him. But don't jump off if you've got him.
And if you jumped on to Jacob Little, say for round 13 coverage, and you held him, he's been doing a good job here over the bye period. I just don't think he's at a good price to jump on as a backup hooker or anything like that. So probably missed a boat on that one. First game on the Friday is the Warriors and the Rabbitohs. This is at formerly known as Mount Smart Stadium. They're called Go Media Stadium now. Go Media Stadium. That's a weird word to say. The Warriors, they've had some suspension issues with Niokore. So Josh Curran named to start. Barnett's back from his own suspension coming off the bench. Otherwise, he's Andrew Webster's kept the same squad who did the job last week. On the Rabbit Bunny side, obviously they have their own suspension issues with Jacob Post out. So G-Camp's back in. Vili's back on the bench. Played New South Wales Cup last week, actually. And they also got Shaq Mitchell back on the bench. Jed Cartwright and Mamzelos, the backup hooker, they've dropped out of the squad with Cook obviously not needing backup after his own backing up from Origin there. The Warriors, obviously, big chance. Dallin, they absolutely blitzed it last week. A few regrets I've had this season is actually not persisting with chance. I let the whole concussion concern spook me, and I think I overreacted to that, unfortunately. So that's been a bit of a tough one, and, yeah, I didn't trust him enough to bring him in. Is it crazy that I'm actually thinking of bringing him in this week?
It's not crazy. It's not crazy. They play South this week, but then they've got a good run home, do the Warriors, and his base is looking really strong. SJ is freeing up a lot of space on the outside. It's hard when you trade someone in, then trade them out. You're almost sort of second guess yourself. You've got to forget that you traded him in once before, right? And just, if I've never bought him before, is he a good buy this week? I don't think he's that bad of a buy.
No, the thing is, like, I've been telling other people to buy him. So thankfully some of the champs have been listening. That's why the leagues are moving up, because other people jumped on. I just didn't do it for my own team. But yeah, 762K, with a big score in the rolling average, 25 break even, so he's going to go up. And he covers round 19. And, for the rest of the season, it's just round 20 that isn't, round 22 that the Warriors have their final bye that they won't play. So I think he's still definitely an option, even though it's going to feel pretty disgusting paying $762,000 for him when, he was in the low 300s to start the year. A bit like those jumping on Dream Buller when he was like 540K or whatever, right? Bit of that kind of action there.
Yeah, I've got my own regrets when it comes to the Warriors. I jumped on Marcelo Montoya probably 2 weeks ago and was tossing up between either him or DWZ, and that's only gone one way. So
that's really rough. Yeah, I mean, literally 50-50, wrong winger, unfortunately for you there. But I think that's super coach, right? You worked it out. The theory was right. You just chose the wrong guy. And judging by the scores up to that point, I think a lot of people would have gone Montoya over DWZ just based off how they've been scoring for the season. So it's a tough one. I know you're not the only super coach out there who took a punt on Montoya over Watini Zalesniak there. Speaking of him, though, DWZ, do you think, because yes, he's actually 50K or thereabouts cheaper than Chance, do you think he might actually be a good punt instead?
Ooh, 176, that's hard to sneeze at, isn't it? He did bag four pies, but I don't think they're going to slow up anytime soon. He can score a try sitting in the first grandstand. He puts the ball down so far.
Yeah.
Look, again, a toss of the coin. I think Chance's base if floor is probably higher, but obviously DWZ has shown he can go higher.
Yeah, and if you look at his scores, right, so just 175 last round with the four tries, but round 15, he scored 29, and he actually has a try in that. So that's kind of the scary part there. I mean, he had like negative six in errors and penalties and stuff like that. So that's his lowest score of the season. Otherwise, 36, 38, and everything else is, 50 and above. Plus then there's the 175, there's 128, there's an 85 and a 99 in there. So look, if you back the Warriors to come home with a wet sail and keep putting up the scores and keep playing well, I think he's not the worst pod out there because he's got really low ownership compared to Chance. That's the only thing I will throw out there. I mean, Chance is definitely the safer option, but you're paying up a bit more. And if for whatever reason you can't make that trade happen and you can make DWZ, I wouldn't rule that out at all. Obviously, SJ on a tear. Yeah, I brought him in last week. I was pretty happy with that. But I guess, you know, is it too late or do you think it's still a chance to jump on? He's at 808,600 now. He's more expensive than Nico. I think he's, I mean, only because Cleary's not playing. He's catching up to Cleary in price too.
Yeah, I think it's too late to get on SJ, right? Last week was a perfect buy. He was going to make cash. He had a good game early. But you want to own Nico, even though there's every chance he might get a jersey in Origin 3. But you want to own Nico, and Cleary isn't too far away. So you'd be a brave man to finish the year without those two. So if you're going to bring in SJ now, you've got to almost consider it two trades, SJ in and then SJ out. So,
unless you have heaps of trades in the bank.
Yeah.
Which who would have that, right? Just to really finish up on the Warriors, I know it's been a long time talking about them, but it's just to highlight their draw. It's so good on the run home. And the big thing for me is actually that they have so many games in New Zealand. They don't leave New Zealand very often. I think including this week onwards, they only leave New Zealand three more times. So, you know, every other game is either at Mount Smart or I think there's one game which is a Tigers home game, but they're playing it in Hamilton. Good on the Tigers for taking a game out there, but it helps the Warriors. So I think they spend one game at Combank when they play the Eels in round 19. Then I think it's round 23, they play the Titans at Cbus. And look, there are so many New Zealand fans over in the Gold Coast. I've seen it before. Like, it's almost like a home game for them. That's how many fans they have. So it's their home away from home. And then their final game is round 27 against the Dolphins at Suncorp Stadium. And again, very close to the Gold Coast. And it's definitely, they have a lot of Kiwis in Brisbane as well. So they come out and support every, you know, Broncos and Warriors game. Even when it's played at Suncorp, I feel like there's such a big Warriors contingent supporting the team there. So, you know, if they're three games away against, you know, Origin affected Eels team, away at the Titans and away at Suncorp Stadium against the Dolphins, that is a fantastic run home. And they don't have too many tough games in there as well. So, yeah, I've got SJ. I'm, you know, looking at Chance or DWZ potentially if I want to play it a little bit frisky. And, you know, I think if you've still hung on to the likes of Jackson Ford or whatever, it might even be worth sticking out with him because he's going to have a pretty sweet run home. So, all right, on the other side, the Bunnies have been pretty disappointing. And I think that's safe to say, right? They really missed Latrell at the back. And, you know, Cody's not had his best game last week. That's putting it lightly. Are you concerned for them? And, you know, is it to the point where you're going to hit the eject button on any of their players, even though they covered round 19?
I don't think I'd hit the eject button this early, but it is definitely concerning. They started the season and people were talking them up as potential minor premiers. But I've got a strong contingent of Bunnies. I think I've got at least four in my starting 17. So there is going to come a point, if they continue to show this, I'm going to slowly wean them out. But look, Campbell Graham is still doing Campbell Graham things, even though they've been disappointing. He's scoring well.
I do think for me, the fact that they miss, you know, after they play round 19, they're going to miss round 20 and also round 26. I can see myself, you know, AJ's definitely in contention to go for me. Even, you know, with Latrell coming back and all of that, I just think, you know, if I need money to get some other Origin guns in, I think AJ is one of the few I might sacrifice there. Cody maybe sticks around because Dillbags isn't, you know, playing anytime soon at this stage. And like I've said before, I'm going to get Munster into 5/8. But if Munster, you know, is my main guy and then Cody on matchups, I think that might be a way to roll. But I mean, if his price holds up there, he might be tempting to sell as well to get another gun or whatever. Yeah, it's a tough one. Just the number of games they miss at the end of season. If they didn't miss so many games, I think the question of whether you hold them or not, you might be tempted to be a bit more patient because they obviously have the ability to put on scores on pretty much every team out there. So it's a tough situation for super coaches to decide there. All right, let's move it to the next game. It's, I mean, on paper, it looks fantastic, right? Storm and Panthers, Friday, prime time, Amy Park, Storm at home. They're, you know, in a bit of mixed form, I think, is probably the way I'd put it. They're winning, but they haven't looked super convincing, right? You're a Storm fan. I mean, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, we're probably sitting higher on the ladder than our form suggests. But look, Munster's had a week off, so this could be a really, really good game to catapult us into the end of the season. It'll be tough against a well-rested Penrith, but we need to start putting some, dare I say it, Melbourne-like performances back together.
Munster back will help with that, obviously, and you know that makes him very interesting. He's at a pretty reasonable price, just under 667,000, break even of 56. We all know he's not playing round 19, but you know the Storm are on bye anyway. He was never playing that round. With him being rested this week, I wonder if he's a higher chance of backing up in round 20. And for that reason, like, is he an actual option to bring in this week, even though it's a big matchup? But, you know, we know Munster is a big game player. Like, he steps up for these tougher matchups a lot of the time.
Yeah, he wasn't rested. I think he was just still pissed, Wilf. But
hungover.
Yeah.
Sick in bed, sorry.
Yeah, Caxtonitis. But, look, I struggle to bring him in against Penrith, even though he's a big game player. I just don't think he's going to go nuts against Penrith, and he definitely misses round 19. So I couldn't do it, but I know there is definitely a lot of people in that band.
Yeah, it's interesting. You look at his career, you know, played them 9 times, high score of 105, low score of 41, averaging 62 against them. Really not that shabby. And yeah, again, it's just whether or not, I think for me, you're looking at this going, well, how many Origin players do I have already that might be rested in round 20? And is Munster more likely to not be rested because he's had a rest already? Like Harry Grant, I'm almost writing him off. Like, surely he's getting a week off in round 20 after playing pretty much 80 minutes every single game and, you know, backing up both Origin 1 and Origin 2 so far. So for me, that's where I'm thinking, well, maybe Munster's one of the Origin guys you take a punt on bringing in early so that you've got, you know, scope to bring in other guys who actually back up in round 20 and can hold for the rest of the season. So worth considering. Look, I know Harry's been disappointing by his standards, but the fact is, you know, he's averaging higher than every other hooker in the game, and he's a really good price. I think if you can bring him in knowing that he might miss round 20, but it just depends who you've got at hooker, right? If you've got no one decent or they're injured or whatever, like, I don't think there's really a bad time to jump on Harry Grant.
No, he's still definitely, if you're playing a game and you've got Harry and the person you're playing doesn't, you often feel better. And it would be hard to finish the season without Harry making a push in an overall sense. Although this week could be the week that Sonny Luke plays his 60 minutes, Wilf. I'm holding on to that hope. It's got to be coming shortly, hasn't it?
Yeah, 60 minutes in reserve grade possibly is the most likely outcome. Yeah, come on, Ivan. Just give him a rest day. I think we're all sick of watching Sonny Luke in our teams. I was all geared up to get rid of him, but I'm kind of looking at my team going, maybe I've just got to wait till next week.
I think I'm going to have to wait till next year. He is going to continue to sit there, I think.
Painful. Very, very painful. Any other names from the Storm team that you would consider for this round?
No, I think maybe not for this round, especially with a tough matchup here, missing round 19. But there is some guys there. I wouldn't mind a piece of Nick Meaney for the run home, especially if, as Pappenhausen doesn't seem to be edging closer. Eli Katoa, not named anywhere. I'm still holding him, which is concerning.
Yeah, it might just be, you know, that eye issue that he was ruled out with is a little bit more serious than first thought. So fingers crossed he is back sooner rather than later. It's interesting because I know there was chat that he was confined to a week of bed rest and he should be right for round 18, but clearly not. So a bit frustrating for those who patiently held for that reason. With Meaney, though, it's worth noting he looked like he may have suffered a calf injury himself last game, and there was some chat that it happened just before halftime, and that's why he came off early. Which, you know, even though the game was effectively over, like, it wasn't that locked away when he came off, so I wonder if he's not 100%. So I kind of think, yeah, not the right week to bring him in, but definitely for the run home, he's a name to keep an eye on for sure. Panthers looking, you know, full strength, all their Origin guys, you know, obviously bar Cleary, who's still injured, everyone's back, so Zach Hosking, I was very happy he played for me last week. I needed those points. But he's back to 18th man, so I think he can definitely go sooner rather than later. He's done his job, I guess. He's played round 16 for us and backed up in round 17 in the end. But yeah, look, I'm not sure I'm rushing to get any of the Panthers guys either. We'll move on, unless there's any other names you want to throw out there.
Nah, mate, no names. Liam Martin looked good. But yeah, his game doesn't seem to translate to Supercoach all that well.
Yeah, I think the thing with Supercoach, like, you just want the guys who are going to bust the tackles, throw offloads in the forwards. And unfortunately, Martin's not that kind of guy. He's obviously important to the team, but he's not for those attacking reasons, right? I mean, Scott Sorensen's more of an attacking threat than Liam Martin at the stage. So if anything, Sorensen's probably the more interesting name that you might actually look at for the run home. But I think he's a post-19 option anyway, right?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
The first game on the Saturday, Super Saturday, is the Raiders and the Titans. This is at GIO Stadium, so Raiders at home. So Josh Papali'i out with that hammy issue, so Saulo moves to start and Arta Mariota joins the bench. On the Titans side, obviously, Tino was surprised resting, but didn't seem like it was an injury, so he's back this week. That pushes Jolliffe back to the bench and his little brother, as in Tino's little brother, back to 18th man. Foran looked pretty good on his game, first game back, and most importantly, that was great for Dave Fifita. Just, he looks so good when Foran gives him the ball in the right areas, and he just knows what to do with it now. So it's been fantastic for Fifita, fantastic for the Titans. Yeah, I really do think the Foran signing was great for them. So well done, Titans. Well played.
Yeah, they got that one right. And Fifita just had to give evidence about beating up Adam Reynolds. So yeah, that was the last bit of evidence in the hearing.
Speaking of Fifita, obviously he still, you know, costs an arm and a leg. Break even, I think, is still sitting around 149, if I'm not mistaken. So even though he's potentially hitting 120s and stuff, he is still actually leaking cash. Lost 40 grand last week, in line to move another, you know, 40, 50 grand, even if he's tons up. So look, originally I was just like, I'm sick of not having Fifita, but I kind of think I've got to give him another week. I'll just cop it. No Fifita for this week. I'll just close my eyes and not watch again. And yeah, he won't play around 19, obviously. And surely he's in line for a resting in round 20, right? Tino got a week off. Fifita got most of a week off in round 14. But, you know, they need him for a run home and they need him fit and firing. So I kind of think he might be in line for either another benching, limited minutes, or maybe a full week off altogether.
Yeah, it's definitely, well, I was hoping he was going to get another limited minutes this week, but you're right. If they've shown their hand and not played Tino at all, Dave's playing big minutes in Origin. He's going to play big minutes again in game three. So look, fingers crossed he does have a slow start in game 20.
Yeah, well, he, you know, played the full 80 last week, backing up from Origin with some massive, massive stint there. So he was very impressive. I'm actually looking at Tino this week, and I know he's expensive. I know he's got attacking stats in there, but the Titans need him on the field basically to make a run for the, you know, the finals. They're ninth at the moment. They've got 7 wins, so they're actually, you know, 1 or 2 wins outside the top 8, even though points wise they're there. But that's because, again, they've had all their buys already. So I just think Tino is going to have to play. He won't have any buys after Origin, and I think with him missing round 17, surely he's backing up from round 20. And he had a fantastic round 14 when he backed up, even in limited minutes coming off the bench. I think he scored a try or whatever. So, yeah, I'm actually looking at Tino. And, I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I like it. I really wish my front row, that name was Tohu Harris, his name was Tino, because Tino is killing it. And, yeah, I know there's some good options in the front row there, but Tino's definitely could be the pick of him again. He finished top last year, and there's nothing saying he can't smash it on the way home and finish right up there again.
Well, this is where I was actually saying, like, I don't think Tino has to be in your front row forward. He's actually performing as a top 3 second row forward as well. So, you know, the gap between front row forward and second row forward is smaller this year, and that's partially because some of the, you know, premium guys like Isaiah Papali'i and stuff like that, who were available at front row forward last year, aren't there. But yeah, Tino is currently 4th in total points in the second row, and on averages, he's top 3. So right there, right next to Jermaine Hopgood. So yeah, I just think viably he could be in your back row and doesn't have to be in your front row, because you could still have, you know, Tohu Tapane, those types of guys, Fanua Blake, Horsburgh. They're all, you know, great options in the front row. And if you put Tino in second row forward, you're not losing out too much there. Yeah. All right. Any other Titans you want to talk about?
Brian Kelly. He's a great player, great Supercoach player. But yeah, although they've exhausted all their buys, they don't have the friendliest attacking run home, the Titans. So yeah, I'd be sort of steering away from those guys.
Yeah, round 23 to 26 is brutal. Like, if the Warriors continue to be legit, then that's the Warriors, then the Sharks round 24, Panthers, and then the Storm in round 26. I know the Titans did really well against the Storm, but, you know, business end of the season, I'd be doubting. I'd hate to want to come face the Storm. Good shout on maybe not looking at too many of the attacking players for the Titans there. On the Raiders, though, look, Joey Tapane, we talk about him all the time. If you don't have him, he's still a good option. I think round 19 coverage, yep. It's difficult, though, because they're not going to, like, you know, it's the Raiders' turn to have a bye after one of the major bye rounds. They're not going to help you with round 20, so it's the Raiders, it's the Dragons, and it's the Bunnies who are going to miss round 20. Yeah, so you know, if you need the round 19 number and then a solid guy for the rest of the year, Tapanisi guy. I'm kind of worried for Corey Horsburgh. I do think he's going to play Origin now, isn't he? Tommy Flegler injured. Didn't even think to talk about those guys in injury wrap. With Jordan Rickey and Tom Flegler out for at least 4 weeks, if not the season, for both guys. I think that's Corey one step closer to a debut Origin jersey.
Yeah, it's looking that way, isn't it? It could be really, really good to see. Not for Supercoach players, but I think he is going to get that jersey, so which bodes well for Tarpany as well, right? If Horsburgh's out round 19, Tarpany might be the man.
Yeah, and if Papali is still struggling with that hammy issue as well, then Tarpany probably plays 80 minutes or something like that. Good news there. But yeah, Corey Horsburgh, I think like if you don't have him now, you've got to wait till round 19 if you're going to consider him, if at all. Because, yeah, like he was 19th man in game two, and kind of think he's the closest next man up in terms of that kind of firebrand guy who might lose his head, do something stupid, do something wild in Origin. That sounds like Corey Horsburgh.
It does, especially in a dead rubber, right? We've got the chance. If it were tossing up between Welch and Horsburgh, well, Christian's been there before. We don't need to get him any experience. So throw the jersey to Corey and let him kill someone.
Yep. And Reese Walsh Watch, we're still waiting for the verdict. The hearing has adjourned. Panel members currently considering their verdict. So, yeah, we'll keep going. Cowboys and the Tigers, second game on the Saturday. So the Cowboys, same 1-17. And why would you change a winning team the way they stood up to the Bunnies there? Obviously, Lolo is 18th man. And keep a close eye on Reese Robson with that hammy issue. And the Tigers, they've got Dane Laurie coming in at 5-8, first game since round four. And then Stafatoa back to the centers and Kapawa to the bench. And Big Stefano to start again, and Fanoa Pole back to the bench as well. So, look, I think let's start with the Tigers because I think it's more clear-cut. And with no Appy, no Brooks, I kind of think just stay away from all of them, except maybe you could look at the Batemans, the Papali'is. That's pretty much it, right?
Yeah. IPAP's getting to a juicy price, isn't he? If you had seen IPAP at 500 and something early in the season, you would have laughed at it. But I guess the biggest question for me for the Tigers is when do we jump ship off the Jareem Buller train? Is it now or is it not quite?
I definitely think you could jump off now. Like we've seen, obviously, with no Brooks, no Appy, like Buller doesn't get the ball in good areas. Doesn't have the same attacking upside. So with the break even of 100, you know, he's over at 700K. I think if you don't need him for round 19 coverage, you could actually get rid of him. I'm holding him myself, but that's because I've got other guys I want to get rid of from my team first. You know, someone like a Josh Schuster. I can't wait to get rid of him. So for my own mental health, I think just getting rid of him is going to make me happier, even though cash-wise it makes sense to get rid of Buller. But, yeah, I'm pretty comfortable if you need to sell Buller to – I mean, you can downgrade Buller to Munster. I still can't get my head around that. I would make that trade in a heartbeat if that's something you wanted to make. I'd have no issues doing that at all.
Yeah, I think you're right. Round 19, although his break even's 100, it's going to be a fast track in North Queensland. The Cowboys, although going okay, they're not what you'd call a defensive juggernaut, although they turned up last week against the Rabbitohs. Personally, you're right. I'm going to hold for a little bit longer, but I am going to jump ship at some point shortly.
Now, Sean Blaw is a little bit of an interesting one. He's not the cheapest, but he does have a -10 break even at just under 400K, 396K roughly. He played 80 minutes last week, 72 minutes the week before, and you know scores of 50 and 92. So, yeah, a bit of an interesting one if you really did want to downgrade and you know you take the punt that he might be there for a bit longer and to continue playing that 80-minute role with Bateman at lock instead. So, yeah, just worth noting, obviously, Joe Ofengawi moving to the Eels, freed up that spot there, and Bateman moved to lock to accommodate Blaw on the edge. So maybe Blaw's finally getting a shot to, you know, really nail down an edge spot, which, you know, feels like we were waiting for him for 2 years, right? Both two preseasons in a row, we looked at him.
Yeah, and talked him up too. He coming out of New South Wales Cup, he was supposed to be the next thing. But in terms of downgrades, I think we might have a better option in the next game we're going to talk about.
Yeah, good shout. All right, before we move there, we do need to talk about the Cowboys. Look, they are, you know, one of the form teams. It looked like not too long ago we were writing them off, right?
Yeah, they got out to, I think it was like $6 to make the eight, and here they come.
Yeah, and look, it's hard to deny that they are in form and, yeah, currently sitting in 10th and definitely fixing the points differential, racking up the you know, Supercoach scores as well. Like you mentioned Scott Drinkwater and his five-round average, so it actually is 110.2 for the last five rounds. His three-round average is 113. He is $892,800 and has a break even of 63. Well done if you jumped on. You know, again, another fantastic buy period for Drinky here. I honestly didn't see it just because of how the Cowboys were traveling. And I thought, yeah, he won't hurt me because Cowboys are going so poorly. But, you know, full credit to them. They've just turned it around and Drinky has been a massive part of it. Fresh off 140, you know, against one of the supposed premiership contenders. Massive performance from the Cowboys. Like, sure, you know, they don't play round 19, but the Tigers here, and then it's a bit of a mixed run home. You know, Seagulls, Eels, Titans, Broncos, Sharks, Dolphins, Panthers in round 27. So who knows what happens in round 27, right? The Panthers could be resting half their team like last year, or they might be, you know, fighting it out because there might be a minor premiership on the line or something like that where they do play all their guys. What's your vibe about the Cowboys?
Look, Drinkwater, he could so easily score 6 points in a game, and yet he has got a 5-round average of 110. So good on him. I think we've seen some real buy-round specialists in Drinkwater and Gutho. You know, if you had to go on who you thought the buy-round, you'd probably go Gutho, and maybe Drinkwater would be in your top five through the buy-round period. But I don't think you could have ever guessed how good he's gone. I think, well, obviously you cannot bring him in at 892,000. I do not care how big a risk taker you are. Please do not trade in Scott Drinkwater.
Look, I think that's fair advice there, and I wouldn't do it myself. I can see some pod hunters out there doing it because, yeah, like at that price, he's going to stay really, really low ownership, and fair enough, right? It'd be a brave man or woman to jump on at that price tag. So, yeah, not for me. But I can see some people doing it for sure. Yeah, it just blows the mind. You can get Cam Munster for 667,000, or you can pay, you know, 230K more for Scott Drinkwater. All right. Look, Val Holmes, the other name that just continues to burn those who offloaded him for the Origin period. Now sitting at 756,000, break even of 11, so could conceivably be over 800,000 next week with another good score. 150,91 in round 14, round 17. But the fact is, you know, he's only played two games in the last five rounds because of buys, because of Origin, things like that. I don't know if this week is the week to get him because I wonder if he's going to back up in round 20. That's my feeling. I think backed up after both Origins so far, and surely there's a chance. The Cowboys rested all their Origin guys last year from memory after game three. So, yeah, he'd be one of the guys I wouldn't expect to back up in round 20, even though Cowboys want the win and all that because they're trying to make the eight. But I kind of think, you know, resting Holmes might be the sensible move from them from a player welfare standpoint, and then obviously having him in fit and firing for the rest of the run home.
Yeah, I think his last couple of rounds have looked somewhat shown that we made the right call starting the season with Val with their unreal run. We just sort of, the balls didn't fall in the right direction, I guess. They had the best eight games to start with and he couldn't do it. And through this tough period, he's absolutely killing it. His average, I think he's well inside the top 10 center wings, could even be a top five. He's a gun.
Well, yeah, he's, you know, 150 against the Storm and then 91 against the Bunnies. Who would have thought? Let's move on. It makes me sad thinking about it.
It does.
Okay. For the Broncos and the Dolphins, they are the Saturday night game. So this is not at Suncorp Stadium. It's at the Gabba, despite what the NRL team list likes to tell you. So yeah, the Broncos won't play at Suncorp until round 27. All their home games are now at the Gabba because of the Women's World Cup. The Matildas will be playing at Suncorp Stadium instead, and, you know, any other Women's World Cup teams. So for the Broncos, you know, we're still no outcome there. For Reece Walsh, yeah. So wanted to be able to talk about it this game, but we will not be able to. But look, given the team list there, I think most likely Tristan Saylor will come in if Walsh is suspended. So that's kind of how I'm treating it there. Otherwise, the Broncos, yeah, pretty smashed with injuries. Flegler out, Jordan Rickey out. They've got Palacios starting on an edge and Xavier Willison starting on the other edge. Capewell's still out till round 20. So this obviously, you know, I think you're alluding to...
That was Piakura, not Palacios. You said Palacio, it's Brendan Piakura.
Oh, no, Palacio is starting.
Yeah, but not on the edge.
No. Yeah, Willison's on the edge. But yeah, Piakura, I think, was the guy you alluded to as the better downgrade option rather than looking at Sean Bloor that I mentioned before. obviously Piakura. You know, look, I took the punt last round, right? I brought him in as a downgrade, thinking he was going to give me 80 minutes in round 17 and probably 80 in round 18. And I was thinking he was going to get 80 minutes in round 20 when the Broncos were probably going to rest their origin forwards. But yeah, I guess, you know, sometimes you got to make your own luck, right?
Yeah, the brave get lucky.
I totally knew the Broncos were going to get injured in the forwards and Piakura would nail down an 80-minute spot for the rest of the season. No, that's not guaranteed, but look, 289K, negative three break even, you know, fresh off of 48. Did have a little bit of a junk line break at the end, but I mean, if he's going to hit round 40 in base at that price tag with some attacking upside, like, yeah, I think he's a decent downgrade and he's playable. And I'm going to play him this week because I'm backing him to have a good game against the Finns who have been struggling. So, yep. Any other Broncos that stand out?
No. I think Piakura's been around a couple of years, similar to Sean Bloor, right? He's definitely been on the Broncos sort of scout list for some time. And he does look good. He's still only a kid, but I think he could definitely do worse.
He's had a bit of a rough run, like Bloor, with injuries as well. Like every time he seems to get a shot or just before he's going to get a shot, he's either, you know, injured or he's sick or something happens. I mean, he got suspended, I think, in one of his debut games. So, yeah, he's had a bit of a rough run. It's good to see him finally get a bit of a longer run in first grade. And I think he's finding his feet. He looks a bit more self-assured each week that he plays. So I'm hoping that as a Broncos fan, obviously, that it keeps growing from there. Look, I think Payne Haas is probably not a bad time to ever get him, but I think he's going to rest in round 20. That's my gut feeling and probably fair enough. Look, jumping over to the Dolphins, there's probably a little bit more super coach opportunity here. Marshall King is someone who interests me a lot just because of, you know, hooker position being a bit of a wasteland, really. He's been good for a lot of a year. He's struggled recently with injury and, you know, he's 620,000, so he's not cheap. But I think what's interesting for me is like he's got a really low score in his rolling average and his break even's 101. So I'm not getting him in this week, but hopefully he drops a little bit in cash. He'll be under 600K, fingers crossed. And then, you know, he's going to cover round 19. And aside from round 21, he'll play the rest of the year. And, you know, their run home's not too bad. So kind of tempted with having Marshall King there. I know it's going to cost me a fair whack to upgrade Sonny Luke to him. But I, you know, when I'm low on trades, I want to have a backup for Harry Grant that's playable. I might not play Marshall King every week, but for the round 19 options that also cover round 20, he's interesting to me. So I think that's why I'm going to target him, even though he's got that AC joint issue and it's a bit of a concern that he's not been able to play decent minutes. Or yeah, it's just going to be a risk I'm going to take there. Any other Dolphins jumping out to you?
No. I think they are coming towards the end for the Dolphins. They do have a decent run home and Marshall King is a gun, but outside of him, I don't have really any interest.
How dare you speak badly of Jermaine Osako?
I just can't do it, Wilf. I can't do Osako. I can't do Hammer. It hasn't served me well for 18 rounds, but I just can't do it.
Look, I still believe in Osako, and I think Sean O'Sullivan coming back last round, it's going to get better. Once he has Marshall King there at hooker, I just think, you know, O'Sullivan's going to be able to, you know, steer the team around and Osako will just keep being the gun that he is this year. All right. And we talked about Valance, but yeah, he's not a bad downgrade option as well. And I think it's his spot to lose. That's my gut feeling. But we just don't know. Branko seems to be a Bennett favorite, so could be there sooner rather than later. And unfortunately for my boy Lemuelu, the Lemon, he's a true Lemon now, back on the bench for the second week in a row. I actually jumped off last week. And I thought, in hindsight, I should have jumped off Schuster first. But let's move on. First game on the Sunday, Bulldogs and Knights. Bulldogs, some changes. Khaled Rajab, hopefully I haven't butchered that name there, but I think Oluapu apparently has a neck issue or some sort of injury there. So he gets a shot over Oluapu. Max King gets the start again. Patolo back. He's actually dropped out altogether. He must be injured, I guess. Harrison Edwards returns from concussion that he suffered at training. And good news is RFM is actually back, you know, on the extended bench. He played New South Wales Cup last week after being quite ill for some time, so it might only be a matter of time before he's back in first grade. Otherwise, not too much doing in the Bulldogs team, even though the Bulldogs do cover round 19, and they actually, I believe that they only have the round 23 bye otherwise. Anybody that piques your interest here?
If you own anybody who's got a Bulldogs logo beside them and their name isn't Jacob Preston, press the red trade button very quickly because there is just nothing there, is there?
Yeah, and even Preston, I think his time might come to an end soon. I mean, Billy Armikikau might be back around 21, 22, thereabouts. So that might be the end of Preston's run in my team, but we'll have to wait and see. Look, Karaz, he's not looked the way he looked at the start of a year. I think he's still carrying some injuries, unfortunately, but his base is not that bad. So I don't hate it at the price tag, but don't really love the Bulldogs run home. So, you know, if you're downgrading to Karaz, I kind of think, like, I'd rather take the punt on Sione Katoa for a bit more upside. That's kind of how I feel about it at the moment.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys down at that similar price that I'd take a punt on well before him, right? There's Tomoko. Yes, Katoa. I love Tomoko. I don't know what it is. I just really like him. So.
He was absolutely flying early in the season. Had gone off the boil a little bit, but I think, to me, he's still passing the eye test. Just hasn't really gotten the opportunities there. So the Knights, obviously, Kalen Ponga continues to be relevant. And look, he didn't have the best score last round, but he didn't look bad. I think he's still passing the eye test there. So Greg Marju, just super coach-wise, just turns it up, doesn't he?
Yeah, I had a look. Must have been after, say, 20 or 30 minutes, and Marju was on 40. I was like, oh, he must have scored. And then you look down, all he's done is he's bust 25 tackles and hasn't scored a try. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's good to be on the bus finally, just like Greg is too. All right, look, not too much else that's interesting here, so we'll move on to the next game. Seagulls and the Roosters. So the Seagulls finally officially putting naming Garrick at fullback. They have a host of stars, apparently, returning. Look, Jake Turbo is a bit of a star, so fair enough there. But Jason Saab, Kelma Tuolangi, and Ben Trbojevic. Brad Parker, too. I'm not sure about those in terms of stars, but NRL calling them stars anyway. And, yeah, heap of guys dropping out. Sean Kepi finally dropping out, too, which I think long overdue, honestly, for Seagulls fans. I'm not really interested in any of them. Obviously, they don't help with buy coverage or anything like that. And, you know, Garrick, if you've got him, you're probably hanging on to him. Just, you know, at fullback, we saw him get it done last year. They're not the same team this year. They've got a different coach. I'm not sure they're going to go as well. But obviously Garrick is, you know, I mean, what, 62? With hardly any points scored and no attacking stats, I think that just speaks to why he's still good at fullback, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're trading out Ruben Garrick, your team must look really good. But in saying that, you're right. He's not the guy to bring in. This week, there's definitely better options, both safe and pod. So I'll be holding and hoping the Seagulls can show something towards the end of the season, as I assume a few other Garrick owners will be, and hopefully fullback is better than right centre. But, yeah, don't go bringing him in.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's like 780K and 172 break-even, so no way you're bringing him in this week. It's just more like I can see people potentially trading him out, and maybe that's not a bad play, like, you know, going Garrick down to a Sione Katoa, freeing up 300K, potentially getting a better score this week. Like, there's merit to it, but I just think for most of us with trades dwindling, you know, I think just don't look at his price tag. Just he's a keeper for the rest of the year. Just lock him in is kind of how I'm approaching that one there. Look, Hamole Olokwatu, surprisingly, you know, I think his base just really dropped last round for some reason, but I think normally what we've seen is when Turbo's out of the team and it's, you know, DC running the show by himself, he loves to use Olokwatu. And I think we saw that last round. But yeah, the attacking stats will be there. He got a bit of junk right at the end. He's looking at a bit of a subpar score because of his lowered base. He's a good price. And yeah, obviously he doesn't cover round 19. I think, you know, if you want to downgrade someone to him or you want to go from Hosking up to Olokwatu, Schuster to Olokwatu, it's not going to take too much for you to get him there. So not a bad shout for the rest of the season with no Turbo there. Probably no other Seagulls worth talking about here. Just get rid of Josh Schuster.
Yes. Get rid of him. Both from your Supercoach side and probably from Manly's playing roster into the future.
Oh, I don't know. He's signed. He's re-signed, apparently. He's going to move into the back row next year.
Oh, well, he looked good in the back row. He's great for Supercoach in the back row.
It's interesting, right? We might be on Schuster again next year, playing in the back row.
Oh, no.
On the Roosters side, though, oh, gosh. Is it too soon to talk about Teddy?
Yes. No, come on. We've got to do it.
You captained him, didn't you?
I did. That sums up my week last week. It probably wasn't the worst call I made last week, which is pretty sad.
On paper, it made a lot of sense because of the matchup and everything like that. But, you know, captaining anyone backing up from Origin's pretty bold, honestly. So you learned your lesson now.
Yeah, especially someone captaining on the backup from Origin, getting old and hasn't played a good game all season. Yep. Good work, Matt. Good work.
Look, he's played a couple of good games. A couple, you know, maybe one or two.
I'm expecting 5 or 6 more, Wilf. It's going to be a strong run home.
Well, if the Roosters of old, the Roosters of last year and every year before turn up, that might happen. But look, Sam Walker apparently isn't too far away, so maybe that's what you're hanging your hope on. Otherwise, yeah, the Roosters do have Joseph Suoli'i back from suspension. That's dropped Junior Pauga out. Obviously, we talked about the other outs from Angus Crichton, Egan Butcher. And so it's a new look back row there. Victor Radley on an edge, Nafahu White on an edge, and Nathan Brown at lock. They also have Sua Wong, probably saying that wrong. But yeah, he's been hyped for a while, so good to see him get a shot. And yeah, if you listen to the Roosters fan, he might be there and maybe starting next year. Who knows?
Yeah, well, look, no disrespect to any of the guys in the back row, but if that's not one of the worst back rows the Roosters have run out in this decade, I'm not sure what is.
Yeah, I'm not sure how Radley's going to go on an edge, honestly. But look, I did mention Nafahu White as a potential downgrade option there. He used to be a back row before he came into grade and was used more as a middle forward off the bench. He's 301,400, -4 break even. Not a bad score of 58 off in 53 minutes last round. Keeping in mind that's in base and base attack. So pretty solid work rate there. The week before that, he had 47 in 51 minutes off the bench. So the PPM's there. It's just whether he gets the minutes and whether he's going to maintain that on an edge. There is a little bit of uncertainty, so it's not a home run there. But I guess if you didn't want to take a punt on Piakura or anybody else, then I guess he'd be another name you can consider. It's not for me, though. Not for you either. You're shaking your head. Need I remind you we are recording audio here?
Yeah, sorry. I can't believe I'm just thinking Victor Radley on an edge and wondering what edge he's going to play on and which half is going to lose their head, if it's DCE or Schuster. But one of them is going to walk away from this game headless.
All right, back to Walsh Watch. The panel's still deliberating. The Broncos have officially missed their flight back to Brisbane, so they're going to stay in Sydney overnight. They'll have to fly back tomorrow.
Wow.
It's funny that that's actually impacting them. But yeah, anyway. Look, Sandon Smith actually has been scoring pretty well for Supercoach. I know Sam Walker's not too far away, but if you're desperate for cash, he's probably not the worst shout. But yeah, outside of that, let's move on. No, that's it. That's the last game of the round. I did not even remember that this was the last game of the round. It's been that kind of week for me, so apologies. It's school holidays. Kids have been doing my head in, so I'll chalk it up.
They've only just begun, mate. It's only second day of school holidays, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. So that's all I'm going to say there. Anyway, update on the group competition. Thanks to our friends at TylerMade, who stand for excellence in wall and floor tiles. We continue to have Ryan, the coach of Financial Panther, leading us in our group. Still in third place, so well done there, Ryan. Keep it going there. New person in second, we've got Craig, the coach of Birdman's Bullets, in 12th. So we have $500 there for Ryan if he hangs on to the top rank there in our group comp. That's our overall prize there. For second or fourth, you win a platinum subscription courtesy of our friends at Rugby League Fantasy Pro. That platinum subscription, it's for 2024 and includes access to all four of their fantasy apps, including Supercoach Pro, Fantasy Pro, DraftStars Pro, and Prunta Pro. If you come 5th to 10th in our group, you get a $30 voucher to use in 2024. Basically covers the cost of Supercoach Pro, or it can't be applied to any of the other subscription packages. Jump over to rugbyleaguefantasypro.com to check them out. There are definitely lots of really interesting tools there. You know, if you want to see who ahead of you in the top 100, top 1,000, top 2,000, whatever rank you want to check out, seeing which combinations are highly owned and stuff like that, that's something you can do there. If you want to see what trades people are making, you want to see how many trades your head-to-head opponent has this week, you can do all of those things. So really, really fantastic tool there. So thanks again to Adrian and team at Rugby League Fantasy Pro for their generosity. Mate, I'm sorry again for keeping us going for so long, but I just can't help it. You know me, I'm just an absolute nuffy when it comes to Supercoach. Love chatting about all things there. Any final words for yourself there?
Mate, I think I'll need to listen to you again, judging on last week. So look, I'm hoping this week can be better than last week. And yeah, we'll talk again soon.
All right, mate. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you again soon.